You're listening to Bobby Talk, Faith Conversations in the Mud, a resource of Church on Bayshore.
Well, hello, and thanks for joining us today on Bobby Talk. Hope everyone's great out there. How are you guys?
You go first. I always go first.
You do always go first.
I yield.
I think that's a middle child thing. You're like, I got to talk.
It is. Like, ooh, my turn.
I'm good.
Good.
Yeah. What's today? November 12th?
Something right? like that. I feel a little bit this
we're
November.
We're in
Orlando right now. We're at the Florida Baptist Convention.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah. When this is airing, I would say that DNOW weekend's coming up.
Yes, it is.
So been a lot of logistics.
A lot of work.
And that's an understatement. And then, we had Jacob and Katie here this past weekend. So, I feel great.
I didn't get to preach this Sunday, and I'm not preaching this Sunday. And
what
I'm
do
actually,
you do?
I'm like,
what do you do?
I've been
what
trying
do you
to
even do?
See a bunch of people who I haven't got to see, but I'm bummed, actually. I'm like,
oh.
I mean, they're doing a great job.
Yeah.
John Seth will do a great job this Sunday, but I'm like, I like preaching, and I didn't necessarily plan on being off as much, you know?
That's true.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, we had Jacob last week and D now, and then Thanksgiving is going to be right around the corner.
It is.
It's coming.
We still need volunteers for that. So if you haven't signed up, you can go to the website. We'd love any help that we have. So just a reminder, this is our last week on this theme of politics.
That's Woo! Right.
I'm kind of glad.
We'll see it again for what, another 4 years, maybe?
Right.
You know? So if you've loved these episodes, we're sorry. This is the last one. If you've hated it, then you'll
My
be really glad
like,
it's
Are
over.
Y'all doing another episode on politics? I was like, yeah. He's like, okay, I'll listen. I was like, okay.
Really?
No, isn't that funny?
Mm.
He's very interested, which is cool. I mean, but also listen to the rest of them, boy.
Is this Josiah?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Because he's going to vote next time.
He is. He's very, I would say, I think all our three oldest kids were very intrigued in this whole process. And so it's good to have good conversations about how our democratic republic works.
Yeah, my son said the same thing. We were talking about it, and he was like, yeah, I'm going to be voting the next time. And I'm like, oh,
also,
you
it's really
are.
Encouraging because I was not that way when I was like,
oh, I was.
I was like, whatever. You know, I mean, I am now.
I campaigned for Bill Clinton in '92.
You did?
You campaigned for him?
Not really, but like at school, everybody was voting for Bush.
Uh-huh.
And who was in '96? Who was it in '96 that he like destroyed Bill Clinton? Who ran against Bill Clinton in '96? Oh,
I don't remember. If you say it, I'll remember it.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, well, Ross Perot was in the mix, remember? Because
my
mom took me to a Ross Perot rally.
Ross
Perot.
I
do remember that.
I do remember Ross Perot.
But,
doesn't remember. She was
like
he was
11.
Super old. Whoever it was that was a Republican candidate in 96 was super old. There was no chance he was going to win.
It'll come to me.
Seriously. He was. It was like.
I can't remember.
It was kind of like Kamala Harris this year. It's like we're just offering her up because we know we're not going to win. So we'll get to that in just a moment. So.
Man. Oh, boy.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Bob Dole.
Bob
Dole.
Yeah, okay. Never would have thought.
Do you remember that
name? I met his wife, Elizabeth Dole.
Really?
Because she was the president of the American Red Cross. And in student government in college, was the vice president of campus services. And it was my job to coordinate all the blood drives
wow.
for campus. And we were like the number one like blood drives. We just had more people mm-hmm. do our blood drives than anywhere else in the state. So I got invited to this big thing in downtown Atlanta as like a college student and met her. That's the closest like political clout I can claim.
I'm Bob Dole. I remember him talking about
I met that. His wife. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Interesting facts.
Yeah, okay.
Well, so we finally know who won. What was
We
your
do
reaction?
Know who won.
Yeah. So when,
unlike
usually,
last
feel,
year. Unlike
yeah,
last time.
It's
this
true.
Is
where
true.
It was,
How long was it until?
I don't know. Remember. Some people still don't know.
Yeah.
You said that. That's funny.
Hey, listen. So I actually messaged these two of these people privately, but like people were like posting like the difference in the voting numbers, right?
Uh-huh.
And they're like, see, where did all these votes go? But then if you like clicked, you notice like the voting numbers for 2024 like was only half of California. It was like all this. So like millions of votes still hadn't been counted yet here.
Yeah.
And so I was like, hey, you might want to, before you post that, just
false news.
Understand. I get it. And 2020 did seem shady. Mm-hmm. I'm with you.
But.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Numbers anyway. Can lie
yeah.
sometimes.
They can. Mm-hmm. People make numbers lie.
Yes. Yeah. Well, especially when it's over multiple time
okay.
zones. And
yeah.
Anyway, as
Absolutely.
You said, it's over.
So it's over. Just beginning. What was your reaction?
I would say the reaction in the room. We were watching it.
Did you find out that night? That's my first.
I went to bed before it was confirmed.
Me too.
But
me too. What time did you go to bed?
That night, probably 10:30-ish was the last time I looked.
I was about 10-ish.
It was like very likely at that point. Yeah. All news sources were kind of pointing that way. Not just, we watched several different broadcasts because little bump my personality. I was like, I want to hear all the different angles.
Yeah. Nickelodeon.
We watched The Vote Junior.
Okay.
Is
Nickelodeon still around?
I don't know.
Okay. There's a lot of shade being thrown at Nickelodeon right now.
Really?
Just a lot of shady stuff with their child stars that's coming out now.
Oh, yeah.
That's
what happened in the 90s.
Yeah, the culture that was there. Yeah, exactly. So a different episode.
Okay.
I would say I actually was a little surprised. I wouldn't say necessarily surprised that he won, but like the margin. Just kind of thought it would probably be closer. Mm-hmm. But, now I'm reflecting, I'm like, yeah, it kind of makes sense. So I was like, okay, this is not fully what I expected.
Yeah.
In terms of the margin of victory, just trying to keep a pulse on what, it's hard to tell what is really real when you listen to different voices and whose voice is the loudest sometimes is what you end up believing. And so I really was kind of, I really almost had no expectation. Like, I really don't know how this is.
Is that why you're very loud?
I am loud.
Because whoever's voice is the loudest,
people, loudest believe.
People believe.
So
you just try to talk loud.
I just sing really loud. They'll believe it the louder I sing.
That's probably the philosophy of some charismatic churches. But anyway.
That is the philosophy of a lot of charismatic churches, actually. The louder you preach, boy.
Yeah.
It's like,
Kelly, what did you say?
Probably the same. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't think we would find out as early. I thought there would probably be a lot of controversy, but maybe it's because
I agree. I kind of was like, we won't really know until Wednesday or Thursday. Yeah. And we went to bed at 10:30 kind of knowing. Yeah.
And then I stayed up later. Chris falls asleep at like 8 o'clock every night. So then I was like, he's up at like 4:30. And I think it still hadn't really updated. Like, some news outlets were saying it. And then I happened to update my phone at 5. And then he was like, oh, it's 2:70. Like, literally, it just – I looked at it. And then I guess kind of the same. I thought it would be a little bit closer.
Yeah, I was surprised. When I went to bed, I was like, okay, this is looking good for Trump, but he has to win so many of these swing states just because California is so many votes and New York is so many votes, And I will say now it's kind of even out with Florida and Texas seem to always go Republican, which Florida was a swing state, but now it wasn't even considered.
It wasn't even close in Florida.
No, it wasn't. Only, I think, one county was blue, which it used to be. You had several counties in the Miami area, Tampa area, Orlando area, Jacksonville. I was surprised that it was such a big win. And that was probably my big takeaway. I think there are some things that I also like. It's funny, Al Mohler talked about this on the briefing last week, and he talked about how – and he calls it campuses, coast, and cities. Mm-hmm. Like, how blue those three places are and everywhere else is red. Mm-hmm. And I do still it's such – I mean, I've seen that for 30 years, of paying attention to this kind of stuff. Gosh, that makes me feel really old. But I was 12, for 30 years, I've paid attention to this stuff, and it's always been that way, but it is more and more stark, that contrast.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating to me. And I'm sure there's books and PhD studies written about this that if I had more time, I would dig into. But I think another interesting observation was the Hispanic vote.
Yeah.
45% Republican. I remember back when Obama was elected and they were talking about how much the changing landscape of America and minorities means we're going to be Democrat all the time. Mm-hmm. And I actually thought like they're right. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting that the policy on immigration, once those people are residents, doesn't matter to them as much because they're here and they value economics, they value, this is a lot of those people are from more blue collar jobs and they understand we need businesses to have money.
Right. Yeah.
And the rhetoric of a lot of Democrats is we need to tax those big businesses heavily, but then there's less jobs, you know? And so I think they see that. Obviously, I don't, they're more conservative when it comes to religion, family values, all those kind of things.
Traditional family values would be definitely a marker.
So I think that's significant.
It is. Mm-hmm. I think we in the West forget, even in outside of the West, there is, even in places that wouldn't be traditionally Christian or have a Christian heritage, that there is a very strong emphasis on, you know, traditional family values.
Yeah.
Even with every culture has its own issues as it goes.
Biological order.
Yeah. Sure. And, you know, one of the things you mentioned, Almar, that episode I just listened to, he talked about some of that divide. And, I don't know if I fully agree with maybe it's just a sentiment of how he said it, because I feel like he's a little flippant in how he said this one thing about the ideology of the red and the blue. And he's talked about how in the blue, it's like you have these theories, but in the reds, in the red places where you have people who are farmers and ranchers. And he talks about like, these are the people you can talk about you can talk about male and female roles. But at the end of the day, if you're a farmer, you know, it takes a male and a female to make calf. And if it's true. What he was saying is true. Mm-hmm. His tone was a little bit like, but I think it's true. Like there's merit in that.
Yeah. I think he's talking about something that you have to really dig into.
Yeah.
To
understand. That's not the platform isn't allowing for that. But I do think that is a piece of this and just interesting takeaways as you read about takeaways from the election. Some of the things that both parties are trying to, figuring out is like, in recent history, I would say that the Democratic Party has been, claimed itself as the party for the working class, and a lot of those votes did shift towards Republican this election specifically. And so there will be analysis and figure out why, that's just a trend. Another thing, we talked about this a few episodes ago about Amendment 4 in Florida, and thankfully it passed, was voted down, like what we wanted passed,
right?
But it wasn't by this huge margin. It requires
60%. Yeah, I was going to ask about that. That was surprising.
Yeah.
Surprising the number that said yes, or surprising that
I just thought out? Like that it seemed how close it was.
Yeah.
I did not expect it to be that close. So, I was thankful that it was 60%, because if it wasn't.
Yeah, for sure.
And then, there were 7 other states that had abortion type issues. And there were only 3 of those. I think it was Florida, Nebraska, and South Dakota that did not pass them, in favor of abortion. So kind of looking at, the country as a whole, it was just interesting to reflect on. And I honestly don't know if it's like, was it because people weren't educated enough about it? Or is that just where we're moving, and I know we've talked a lot about that,
I think people were not fully educated. It is where we're moving for sure, but I don't think that even those who would advocate as pro-choice realized how extreme that amendment was in Florida, at least, and its provisions for abortion. In a lot of cases, even pro-choice people would be against some of the things it would allow for. So I think it's both of those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, when we talked about the amendments, I said I felt like the saving grace was that it was 60, not 50, because I was pretty confident that if it were 50, it would pass. I think you're right. I think like people are not educated on the issue in general and don't care to be educated on the issue in general because of our elevation of freedom over what's right and wrong.
Yeah.
And so then freedom gets redefined and
whose freedom are we talking about?
Right. Yeah. I think that, we are, it would take a lot to slow that train from moving in the right direction. At Kamala Harris's, I don't know if you listened, I actually listened to her
concession speech.
Mm-hmm. You know, that was one of the things she emphasized.
She emphasized it big time.
Women can make choices. The cry. Not all Democrats, but that is the battle cry of the progressive movement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you go back and if you actually listen to her speech, you're like tracking along like this. It's very – it's, you know, there's the decorum that goes along with, you know, which is right. There should be, you know, decorum in this process. And it's like very decorum until she's like, and I'm not going to stop fighting for the, you know, the things that I believe in, which is fine. Like,
yeah,
great.
Right,
but
right.
then she then starts to list what those things are. And number one was abortion.
Yeah.
And so you realize like, this is not going away. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Well, with that in mind, it's interesting, you know, because if that was their platform and it is moving there, she still didn't win.
Yeah, right.
So what do you think were the reasons why Trump won?
Well, I think you were saying that thing about the working class shifting. I do think this isn't necessarily a good ethical thing. Mm-hmm. I think it's just a desire to win. I think the Republican Party has redefined themselves somewhat over the last 10 to 15 years because they realize if we don't, we're not going to make it. We're never going to win. And so, again, I don't know that the motives were pure, but I do see a sensitivity to what are people in America saying. Not and there's ideologues on both sides, so maybe that would be where we would disagree with Mueller. Like, there's ideologues on both sides of the party.
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
But not what do ideologues say, but like what are people saying?
Yeah.
And I feel like there's a greater sensitivity to that from Republicans, which is just wild for me to say, thinking about politics in the 90s and 2000s. But
yeah.
Yeah, and so all that to be said, I think ultimately he won because of the economy.
Yeah, agree.
Yeah. I mean, I think when it comes down to it, that is probably the number one thing. I mean,
probably always, right?
Yeah, I mean, that because money talks.
Yeah.
I mean, 2 p.m., let's just be real. I mean, this isn't like my personal thoughts or my personal agenda. It's
I'm
just
glad
real.
You're clarifying that.
You know,
yeah,
I mean, people like, you know, we're talking and we're pastors. And so I don't want to like, I'm not saying money is the most important issue. I'm just saying when people vote, it is probably at the forefront of their mind.
Yeah.
Because that's where it affects you, feel the pinch personally. And so I think huge factor.
And in fairness, you know, when it comes to elections, if you feel like the president can't do much about same-sex marriage or abortion or, you know, a lot of moral issues, regardless of where you fall on those, it does make sense. I probably would not have said this at 22, but I do understand why people are like, look, those issues are going to go back and forth and be debated, and states are going to debate ultimately, like, who's going to put us in a place? Because that's their job, like, you know, is to make an economic – economically prosperous nation. So,
right. And that's something that, so some of the issues might not affect somebody personally, you know, but it's whenever it starts affecting them, you know, maybe not abortion, maybe not immigration, but your housing situation, you're trying to rent, you're trying to buy a new house, groceries, people personally feel that. And that's, you know, where they're thinking more.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. And I mean, you can't deny interest rates are sky high comparatively to what they've been. People are having a hard time buying homes, first homes. Inflation is going wild. I mean, you know, it's a lot.
Yeah.
So you can't deny that. I'm not saying that is justification. I'm just saying that's why he won. I would also say Kamala Harris just wasn't a great candidate. Mm-hmm. I forgot, like, until I was listening to a couple podcasts, she wasn't even the choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Joe Biden was.
I think that is true. I think, honestly, when it comes down to the candidate, the biggest issue for the Democratic Party was the fact that Biden was the candidate until he wasn't. And then there was, and I, you know, I'm not an expert in the process, but there wasn't a primary for the Democratic Party.
Right.
There was a, she's our chosen one.
Right.
Which I understand the logic and why, because she's the vice president.
Right.
And most of the time, like, the vice president becomes, I get all that.
Yeah.
But I think those who would identify as Democratic in the Democratic Party, like, were disenchanted by that and wouldn't be who they would select. And so I think you saw a lack of real passion from a good part of the constituents. And I agree.
Yeah, you're right. They didn't turn out to vote.
Yeah.
It's kind of like maybe what happened somewhat to Trump in, you know,
in 2020
where like some Republicans are like, gosh, this guy won't shut up.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I'm not going to vote for him. And, you know, you kind of
–
and she just really – I mean, politically, I'm not saying she's not an intelligent person. I'm not saying – I don't know her, all that stuff. But, like, why would she be the president of the United States of America?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and she was – I think if you didn't like Biden. I mean, she tried to distance herself a lot from him, but she was still connected to him because she was in the last term with him. And it may, you know, I'm always interested, like, well, why didn't Trump win the last one, but he did this one whenever you kind of have, I mean, it wasn't Biden again, but it was Biden's VP, you know, which is interesting. And this might be totally whatever, but I kept thinking that I think it was COVID, that I feel like people were just trying to put like blame on somebody and they didn't know, but he was the one in charge. Right. And so then it was like, at that point in time, there was still so much confusion and misinformation going around. And I think that it kind of threw him under the bus. Well, but anyways, that was just a...
Also, there was all the race issues going on in 2020, and he was not helping himself with his rhetoric.
Right.
Yeah, true.
So, you know, he has still says really stupid stuff all the time, but he's not saying that politically sensitive, stupid stuff in front of everyone as the president of the United States of America.
True.
And so I think you're right, and I think also he wasn't helping. Like, people wanted to blame him, and he wasn't helping himself at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I would say, too, just to Democrats, I think it's kind of easy to beat Trump.
Yeah.
Like Biden, because, again, I don't necessarily think he's – I don't know him personally and his personal integrity, but he handled himself as this somewhat calm, trustworthy guy to the masses. And so he beat Trump.
Mm-hmm.
But then who they put forth is someone who wasn't good at – I mean, she was not – she's not good at speaking.
Right.
I mean, in her speech, her concession speech, did you listen to it?
Not all of it.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. She just kept saying it like over and over again while the crowd. Yeah. I'm like, it's
she
just
was
so
better
awkward
than what they had. So,
well, Biden had, and that's another thing too. Like, people were like, the Democratic Party's lying to us, you know, like about Biden. Like, we all knew.
Yeah.
Apparently, Kamala Harris said on The View too. Christy told me this, that they asked what she would do differently, even though she's talking about ushering a change. She said nothing. So she's talking about change, but then she has no actual, like, here's how we're going to do that different.
Yeah, and you wonder, like, how much of, like, I mean, you know, granted, not knowing, but, like, does she feel like if I distance myself too much, then I'm distancing myself from the party and abandoning people who helped me get here.
Yeah.
But then to say I want to do things differently, like, why didn't you do it? Why didn't you advocate now?
Yeah.
There's I mean, that was a rough spot to be in. I mean,
it's like a pastor who goes into an unhealthy church.
Right? Yeah, and you're like, well, I mean, exactly.
Yeah,
okay.
Well, it was very, you know, people the next day, some were very, very happy, and some people were very, very sad. So what would we say to those who were very, very sad and didn't want him to win?
Well, your party has become very radical.
Mm. Yeah.
Very radical. Yeah. On issues again, I go back to 20 years ago and like abortion and same-sex issues. And it was like, hey, we just – give us this. And I heard – and I'm like, yeah, I see that. Not necessarily an abortion, but like I see why people would say okay to that on abortion. And I see that – I'm very libertarian when it comes to same-sex marriage because I don't think the government belongs
–
marriage belongs to government anyway. So I'm like, I see their points. But then the conservative group to me was like, no, they're going to take it here.
Mm-hmm.
And they really have.
Yeah. Well, what was it in California that they ended up like reversing? It was a very, wish I had it. But it's kind of like what you were talking about where, you know, these ideas sound really great and you're like, yeah, we need this. But then whenever we see the effects, the long, you know, what it meant and what it did to people. And then it's like, oh, maybe that wasn't the best idea. So, it. On some of those things, definitely is more radical, or it's not as much about it just being the freedom. Then it was like, well, no, we're going to impose what we think our ideology on everybody about this.
Right.
It's not just like you can think how you want to, but now you have to provide all these things. Now you have to do all these things.
And there's like
now
no we're compromise.
Tax money for this. So,
For sure.
So, I mean, that's just general like logic, right? There needs to be some kind of compromise, you know? So, and I'm not saying I agree with the compromise. I just mean, it's like clear, like you want to go all the way here. And Kamala was, I mean, that's what she was saying.
Yeah.
Taxes are going to pay for abortions. Taxes are going to pay for transgender reassignments. Like, it's a lot.
Yeah, I would say to those.
Ironically, Caitlyn Jenner endorsed Trump.
Really?
Is that just wild world we live in?
When you take a step back and just be like, hang on, guys, this is reality. Is this reality?
Yeah,
I mean, really, that says something. I think for those, especially those Christians who, I mean, I've got some good friends who, you know, are very outwardly upset that the election went this way. And
well, I almost called you since you're woke and asked you if you and Jeff Waits were getting together and eating oatmeal.
We have to.
You woke people? Is that what you said? Here's what we woke people have to do.
Oh, did I say we?
Yes.
No, that was not a revealing statement at all. Sorry. I was just saying.
I am just kidding.
I know, and I didn't even realize I said that. Like, I would just say, like, if you're that, if you are, you are that person. I didn't even realize I said that. Was no subconscious, not a subconscious Freudian slip. Just
you're fired, Justin. We all know.
Yeah,
we all know.
But there's
you have a MAGA hat. We all know.
That's right. Gosh, have you ever seen me wearing that hat? Slap it off me.
Did you hear that, Kelly?
I did.
But I think, one, don't despair, because ultimately, who is sovereign over all these things? Who is the Lord? Two, I think you go back to what we've talked about in several episodes. Neither of these candidates represented the Jesus way,
right?
So
right.
don't feel like. I would just encourage, and I mean, that is not, that sounds discouraging, but also, hey, this isn't, and I think don't villainize people who vote, again, on both sides,
right,
we don't villainize
right.
people who vote a different way for different reasons.
Yeah.
I mean, we all, I think, I'm with you, we've said it before, I wish you would just stop saying stupid stuff, and I mean, I'm praying that he governs justly and rightly, you know, because he's our president, or he will be the president, I should say. And if she had won, would pray the same thing. Would she, you know? And I'm praying that, you know, I don't know his heart. I don't know what's really there. I know what he's said in the past about his faith. Mm-hmm. I mean, and there's where's the fruit? We have those conversations. I'm praying that the Lord opens his eyes to see him and surrender and yield to him.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing I would pray for her as well, too, and do pray for her. You know,
yeah.
I think that's what I would say.
You brought up something that's important for us to remember in this. It's like you have probably the 10%, and that might be generous, on each side that is just like, this is the way.
Yeah.
And then in the middle, you have 80%, some of which who are like, I just can't not vote Republican, and some of which who are just, I can't not vote Democrat, but not necessarily like as passionate. They just have a few issues or they just can't compromise on.
Mm-hmm.
And then you probably have in the middle of that 30% of America, 20% of America, who's like just trying to make the best, you know, the whole Ace Ventura, grab the arrow. Like, and so like, I think it's a mistake to think that there are people who are blindly following both sides. Mm-hmm. Like, sorry, that everybody who votes for Trump or votes for whoever the Democrat person is. And I think the rhetoric is often those two people going back and forth with everybody else getting what's it called when you shrapnel, you know, from that firing.
Yeah.
And so I think like the best answer for America and any society is to remember like most of us are rational and can discuss these in a rational way.
Anyway. Well, and then I think on the same side, what about for the opposite side, those people that they're super excited that he won, then what, you know? Mm.
Listen, I wanted to text some people in our church and say, you can't rest now.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, I think they really feel like, and I don't think they would ever articulate this, but like the biggest thing they need to do is whatever they can muster up to ensure that the Republican is voted as president.
Yeah.
And it's like, as a Christian, that actually doesn't influence your daily life as much as you think it does. Like, because you should daily be surrendering to Christ and living for his mission. And so, if your guy won, great. Okay. And you might be right. And it might be the best thing for the country, but you're an ambassador for Christ.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I would say, ultimately that, like we still serve a king, a kingdom. That's our ultimate allegiance. So, don't assume that just because the Republican candidate won that, it doesn't change our mission. And there may, you know, I just think our culture that though you would assume with a Republican in control and him in charge, that things may be more favorable for the church politically. And that is for this next season. Mm-hmm. But as we know in politics, everything is this pendulum, and everything is mm-hmm. tends to be very reactionary. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. we will see. I think in these next 4 years, you will see a growing resistance in our culture to the church because mm-hmm. of this. Mm-hmm. You know, to the, mm-hmm. those, you know, like we talked about the left, you know, the coast, you know, like mm-hmm. the cities and the, you know, I think that's a byproduct of this. Yeah. And we've got to be aware of that and remember that people who share, who hold different views than us are not our enemy. Mm-hmm. They are people who need Jesus. And keeping that in the forefront. And then also...
You're saying everyone who holds a different view needs Jesus?
And the people who hold the same view need Jesus, too.
Okay, okay.
And, you know...
And some of them love Jesus. And
not
every,
and also, yeah, yeah. not everyone who holds the right, same view right. as you loves Jesus. You know, we could have both extremes politically are Christless. You know, like, you know, and so, you know, I think, like, we need Jesus. And also, you know, I saw someone post, like, a picture... of Trump. It was a cartoon image surrounded by angels.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, okay, I mean, I want that for the president. But the caption was
oh, Lord.
The real Secret Service.
Oh, Lord.
And I was like,
oh, man.
Like, I mean, yes, there are spiritual forces at work, all of that, but I don't know, is that helpful? Is that right? Like,
He is not our hope.
Yeah.
He's not
I mean,
our peace.
Yeah.
yeah.
And so you just, you're, that's just wading into some real murky water. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
anyway,
good.
I'm like, oh,
the
Lord,
real
Jesus.
Secret yeah. Service.
I was just like, really? Really? All right.
Well, people say some crazy stuff.
I say some crazy stuff. And post crazy stuff.
They post some crazy stuff. Oh, man. Well, it's
not straight up heresy, is it?
No. I mean, maybe. Close. But
yeah.
In all of it, though, I think, I mean, just wonderful reminders that, again, this world is not our home, that God, you know, Jesus left us with the Great Commission. And it doesn't matter who's president that's still before us. So for those that were happy and those that were sad, we, you know, that is why we are here, to share the gospel. So if you have loved these episodes on politics, I'm sorry, this is the last one for a while.
We need a break.
That's right.
But if you're glad for them to be over, then we'll have some new content coming up. Yeah, lots of exciting things going on. So thanks for tuning in, and we will see you guys next time.
Thanks for listening to Boggy Talk. We are so glad you joined in the conversation. Go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss a beat.